15th of January 1992. We will continue our Dhamma talk. Yesterday I explained you how a Vipassana meditator developed Noble Eightfold Path while he is practicing mindfulness meditation. So, I think you remember the Pranaya, Pahadava, Sachikadava, and Bhavitava. They are four types of the truth, four types of truths in the teaching of the Buddha. The first one is the truth, which must be thoroughly realized. That's a prajna. The truth that which must be removed or abandoned. It's a pahadabha. Then the truth which must be experienced. That this is Sachikadava. Then the true which must be developed. This is a Bhavitapa. The truth that must be thoroughly realized is the truth of suffering. That's material and mental processes. All kinds of material and mental phenomena are to be thoroughly realized. So that one can remove the second truth, the truth which must be removed, that is the cause of a suffering, the origin of the truth of the origin of a suffering, samudaya satya. When the cause of a suffering, samudaya satya, has been uprooted, they won't arise any suffering, dukkha at all. Then dukkha suffering ceases to exist. Then the meditator has attained the cessation of a suffering. Or the meditator has experienced the cessation of a suffering, the end of a suffering, the absence of a suffering. So this is the cessation of a suffering. It's called Nibbana, which must be experienced by the meditator who has totally destroyed the attachment, the cause of a suffering. So this is truth of the cessation of a suffering is the one which must be experienced. To experience this cessation of suffering, deliverance or emancipation, you have to remove its cause. The truth of the cause of suffering, Samudaya Sajja, which is tanha, attachment or craving. To be able to remove this tanha, attachment or craving, the cause of suffering, you have to thoroughly realize bodily and mental phenomena and their true nature, which is the truth of suffering, which must be thoroughly realized. To be able to realize this more bodily and mental phenomena as they really are, you have to develop the Noble Eightfold Path, Maggasajja, the truth of the way leading to the cessation of suffering, which must be completely developed. So when you fully develop these Noble Eightfold Path, and you, by being mindful of what is happening to your body and mind as it really occurs, then you realize the truth of suffering, this embodiment process, as it really is. That realization removes the truth of the cause of suffering, tanha, attachment or craving. When the cause of suffering, tanha, has been removed, there is no suffering at all. The suffering ceases to exist here. Then you have attained the cessation of suffering. In this way, the Four Noble Truths are interrelated to each other. Then here, the truth of suffering, embodiment process, is the effect. The truth of the cause of suffering, Samudaya Sajja, tanha, is the cause. Tanha or attachment causes suffering to arise. Every suffering is caused by attachment or craving. Desire, lust, greed, and so on. So, the truth of the suffering, that's the embodiment process, is the effect. The truth of the cause of a suffering, tanha, attachment, is the cause. These two kinds of truths are mundane. They are connected with worldly affairs. Then, to attain the cessation of suffering, deliverance or emancipation, eternal peace. You have to remove the cause of suffering, tanha. To do it, you have to realize body-mind process and their true nature. To realize this body-mind process, you have to develop magga-sajja, the truth of the way leading to cessation of suffering, that is Noble Eightfold Path. When you fully developed Noble Eightfold Path by being mindful of whatever arises in your body and mind as it really occurs, then eventually you attain the cessation of suffering. So, magga-sajja, the truth of suffering, is the cause. Nirodha-sajja, the cessation of suffering, is the effect. These are two kinds of the truth. Are supra mundane, we call it a lokottara. It means that they are beyond the world. Lokottara. The first two truths, dukkha satya and samudaya satya, are mundane. They are connected to worldly affairs, they are in the world. So, magga-sajja here means Noble Eightfold Path. But it has to, it has divided into two. The first one, the first Noble Eightfold Path, the first one is connected with the world. The second part is not connected with the world, but it's beyond the world. So the second part is called supramundane. When we are mindful of any mental and physical phenomena, very clearly, precisely, then we have to make mental effort. That mental effort is a samavayama, right effort. Because of that effort, then you are mindful of what's happening to your body or mind as it really occurs. That is mindfulness. This mindfulness is the right mindfulness, samasati. Gradually the mind becomes concentrated to a certain extent on the object of either mental process or physical process. So that concentration is right, so it's the right concentration, samasmadhi. When the mind tends to go out, or when it goes out, one of the mental factors directs the mind to the object of meditation, any mental process or physical process. That is a samasankappa, right thought. In this way, gradually, with the deeper concentration, you come to realize that the mental process just the natural process of mentality. You come to realize the physical process, just a natural process of physical phenomena. They are neither a person nor being. What are they? They are natural processes of mentality and physicality. That's the right understanding, realization. It's a samadhi, right understanding or right view. In this way, while you are practicing Vipassana meditation, mindfulness meditation, you are cultivating this noble, five factors of the Noble Eightfold Path. Right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration, right thought, right understanding. Samma Vayama, Samma Siddhi, Samma Samadhi, Samma Sankappa, Samma Deity. You have also the other three mental factors of the Noble Eightfold Path, which are in the group of a Sila, moral conduct. Those are Samavacca. You are refraining from bad speech while your mind is concentrated on the movement of the foot or any mental process or physical process. Then you have a Samavacca, right speech. You are refraining from bad deeds or actions. Then you have a Samakamanta, right deed or action. You are refraining from bad livelihood. Then you got Sama Ajiva, right livelihood. By refraining from bad deeds, bad speech, bad deed, and bad livelihood, you are endowed with these three factors of virtue. Samavacca, right speech, Samakamanta, right deed, Samajiva, right livelihood. In this way, you are developing this Noble Eightfold Path while you are mindful of whatever arises in your body and mind as it really occurs. But this Noble Eightfold Path is mundane. They are included in the world, not beyond the world. So, as long as you have not reached the first path knowledge, at least the first path knowledge, or the first stage of enlightenment, Sota Patimagga, you are developing this Noble Eightfold Path, mundane, mundane factors of a Noble Eightfold Path. Then, when you have reached the first stage of enlightenment, Sotapattimagga, there also you develop this Noble Eightfold Path. At that moment, also you have these Noble Eight Factors of the Noble Eightfold Path. But that consciousness for knowledge, which is called the path knowledge or the first enlightened stage of enlightenment, is it called beyond world. So at the moment you attain the first stage of enlightenment, Sotapattimaggañāna, the first path knowledge. The Noble Eightfold Factors which you develop at that moment is called the supramundane, because it's a beyond world. So none of the supramundane factors of Noble Eightfold Paths can be attained without any mundane factors. Only you have thoroughly and completely and fully developed the mundane factors of a Noble Eightfold Path, you can attain to the Magga, the path knowledge, the first stage of enlightenment. Only then that you have attained the cessation of suffering. Nirodha Sajja. You experience it at that moment of the first stage of enlightenment. So the cessation of suffering is to be thoroughly experienced by a meditator who develops mundane factors of a Noble Eightfold Path, a supramundane factors of a Noble Eightfold Path. Then here, what do you? Notice, what you should notice that the Four Noble Truths can be divided into two groups. The first group is the truth of suffering, is a body mind process, and the truth of the cause of suffering, that's the tanha, attachment or craving. Then the second group is the Nirodha Sajja, the cessation of suffering. And the Magga Sajja, the way leading to the cessation of suffering. Or the first group, the truth of the cause of suffering, tanha, attachment, samudaya sajja, is the cause. Then the truth of suffering, dukkha sajja, body mind process, is the effect. The suffering of a mental or physical phenomena is caused by the attachment, tanha, samudaya sajja. Then in the second group, out of second group, Magga Sajja, the way leading to the cessation of suffering, that is the Noble Eightfold Path, is the cause of the cessation of suffering. The cessation of suffering, Nirodha Sajja, is the effect. The Magga Sajja is the cause, and Nirodha Sajja is the effect. But here, there's a bit difference between the two cause and effect. The two causes and effect. Samudaya Sajja, tanha, attachment is the immediate cause of a suffering. But Magga Satya, the way leading to the cessation of a suffering, the Noble Eightfold Path is not immediate cause of the cessation of a suffering. But without being, without development of a Noble Eightfold Path, you can attain the cessation of a suffering, but this is cause. Condition is not immediate cause or condition. Because you have developed the Noble Eightfold Path, observing all mental and physical phenomena which are arising at the moment. So you come to realize body mind process and their true nature. Because the body mind process has been thoroughly realized, you don't have any attachment to either bodily process or mental process. Then attachment has been destroyed. Only the attachment has been destroyed, you won't have a suffering at all. In this way, the Noble Eightfold Path, though it's the cause of the cessation of the suffering, it's not immediate cause of the suffering. We, according to Abhidhamma philosophy of Buddhism, the immediate cause is called Padatthana in Pali. The immediate cause is Padatthana in Pali. So the attachment Thana is the immediate cause of a suffering. So it's the Padatthana of suffering, dukkha. But the Magga Satya, the Noble Eightfold Path, is not the immediate cause of the cessation of suffering. So it's not Padatthana of the cessation of suffering, not the immediate cause of suffering. But without development of this Noble Eightfold Path, you can attain the cessation of suffering. So the Noble Eightfold Path is the way leading to the cessation of suffering, the cause of the cessation of suffering. So in the Buddhist philosophy, we have two kinds of condition. The first one is Janaka Hetu. The second one is Upadhambaka, Papaka Hetu, Sampapaka Hetu, and so on. But I think I need not explain these two types of conditions or cause in this case. I should leave it, because so that I would not make them puzzled about this Noble Eightfold Path. Then what we know here is whenever we are mindful of rising, falling of the abdomen, or lifting, pushing, dropping, touching, pressing of the foot, or bending of the arm, stretching of the arm. The thoughts, ideas, opinions, mental images, or painful sensation, whatever we may be mindful of. That mindfulness consists of the Noble Eightfold Path. But in some cases, not eight factors included, only seven factors are included. In some cases, all the full eight factors has been developed. I think you can grasp it. In which case did you develop seven factors? In which case do you develop eight factors? Yes. As soon as you begin when you are able to be mindful of rising, falling, sitting, touching, or rising, rising, falling, falling, very precisely and closely, the concentration becomes somewhat good. Then when you are able to observe very, say, easily, the movement of the foot, lifting, pushing, dropping, touching, pressing, without stress or strain, you comfortably can observe the movement of the foot precisely and closely. Even though you walk an hour, by noting these movements, you do not feel tired. You feel pleased with your practice. Then the concentration, what's the reason? The reason is the concentration is good enough. The mind doesn't go very often. It goes very occasionally. But as soon as you know it, you note it, then the thought has disappeared in a short time. In this way, gradually, your mind becomes concentrated more and more deeply. And also you are able to be mindful of some of the daily activities, said about 40% of the daily activities with some intentions before the actions too. Then the mind becomes concentrated to a certain extent in that field, in that respect too. Then you got momentary concentration, deep and good to a larger extent. Then in the sitting, your concentration, your mind is concentrated on each object of rising, falling, pain, sitting and so on, say for about 5 minutes or 10 minutes with the very few thoughts which are noted and disappeared very instantly. Then you come to know the rising movement and falling movement very precisely. not just abdominal rising, not just abdominal falling. What you are realizing at that moment is the rising movement and that falling movement without the form of the abdomen. Sometimes being unconscious of the sense of the bodily form or yourself, then you very clearly realizing the natural process of rising movement and the natural process of falling movement. The same with the movement of the foot. You come to realize lifting movement without the form of the body, without the form of the leg or the foot, pushing movement, dropping movement, touching sensation, pressing. Then here you come to rightly understand the natural process of a lifting movement, pushing movement, dropping movement, touching and pressing movement. These are natural processes. You do not take them to be I or you, a person or being. What you are seeing is just a natural process of a movement. When you observe painful sensation in the sitting, then you very carefully observe the painful sensation attentively and precisely. The mind becomes penetrating in the center of the painful sensation. But you feel the pain is somewhere there, not connected with your body or with yourself. The mind notes it as it is. So the pain, you have nothing to do with the pain, the painful sensation. So the painful sensation there, you note, you observe it, you note it as the pain. Because the pain is not connected with you, with your person, you don't feel unpleasant about it. You are not affected by the unpleasantness of the painful sensation because you know it separately from your body or your person. It means you do not identify the pain with yourself, with your person. So the pain is neither a person nor a being. The pain is neither I nor you. You come to realize that. Yes, the pain is not a person. It's just a natural process of an unpleasant feeling or sensation. That's all. It has no person, no being, no soul of no self. What's that? Is it the pain, unpleasant feeling of a natural process? Then you come to rightly understand it. That's a samadhi, right view or right understanding. Before you begin to rightly understand the pain, the movement of the foot, the abdominal movement, when you are accumulating, while you are accumulating your concentration, so that it becomes deeper and deeper. At that moment, you have not yet realized These are natural process of rising movement, falling movement. These are natural process of lifting movement, pushing movement, dropping movement. These are natural process of unpleasant sensations. You have not yet realized it. At that moment, you have not yet right view, right understanding samadhi. What you are having in you is just the seven factors of a Noble Eightfold Path without samadhi. In such cases, you have developed only the seven factors of a Noble Eightfold Path. It means why you are being mindful of any mental physical process, and the mind begins to be concentrated on the object to a certain extent. And there you don't have right understanding or realization. So in such a case, you have developed the seven factors of a Noble Eightfold Path. Then, when you begin to rightly understand the rising movement of natural process and the falling movement of natural process, and the mind that notes it. In the same way, the lifting movement, pushing movement, dropping movement of a physical process, with the mind that notes it. In the same way, the painful sensation, which is separate from your body, which is nothing connected with your body, it is somewhere about, say, the 2 hours from your body or yourself. Sorry, 2 feet from your body and yourself. Then you are rightly understanding this natural process. At that moment, you have developed the Noble Eightfold Path, including the right view, the right understanding, samadhi. In this way, in some cases, you have developed 7 factors of a Noble Eightfold Path. In some cases, you have developed all of the full 8 factors of a Noble Eightfold Path. Could you grasp? Yes, shall I explain further? Do I need? No need, because you are intelligent. So you can grasp it. If I show you 5 inches, you know 5 feet. You know 5 feet. So I need not to explain further. Then please let me ask the question. When you are developing the 7 factors of a Noble Eightfold Path, in which cases do you develop the 7 factors of the Noble Eightfold Path? Well, before you have realized the Bodhimam process and attain some degree of a concentration, just concentration. You follow? Just concentration, not realization, not rightly understanding. In these cases, you had developed only the seventh factor without right understanding samadhi. Only when you begin to realize, rightly understand embodiment process and their true nature, then you have how many factors? 8. Then what includes there? Samadhi, right understanding. So when you have attained only concentration, some degree of concentration only, you have developed how many part, how many factors? 7 factors. When you begin to rightly understand the process and their true nature, how many factors? 8 factors, including samadhi, right understanding. Yes, yeah. It's easy for a meditator to know the meaning of this Noble Eightfold Path, because you are developing Noble Eightfold Path practically. But in accordance with the scriptures, we have to say something about the group of virtue or moral conduct. What is the group of virtue or moral conduct? Right speech, right deed, and right livelihood. Right speech, samavaja, right deed, samakamanda, right livelihood, sama ajiva. Yeah. Some right deed, right speech, samavaja, means abstention from 4 kinds of bad speeches. 4 kinds of bad speech. We call it evil speech. It's classified in 4. The first one is false speech. This is a bad speech. If you speak false speech, you have not samavaja. Then the second one is usually the Pali scholars translate it into slandering and backbiting. What do you mean by that? Slandering and backbiting. Speaking badly about another person. Yes, this one, the Pali word is it? Pisuna. Pali word is Pisuna. Sometimes it's called a Pisunya. Do you understand the meaning of the Pisuna? Yes, it's sometimes called Pesonya. The meaning is the speech which crushes the loving kindness between two persons. That's a Pesonya. Huh? Much better. Yes. The speech that crushes the loving kindness that between two persons is called backbiting, slandering. But I think I asked some English people about this word, slandering and backbiting. Can it convey the desired sense of the Paisunya? But they said, no, there's no word equivalent to the Paisunya. The speech that crushes loving kindness between two persons. You have that word? Huh? No. Yeah. Not no exact word. Yeah. That is a bad speech. Very bad speech. The speech that crushes this loving kindness between two persons. Then another one is a rude and impolite speech. Rude and impolite speech or language. If you abstain from this rude and impolite language, then you have a samavacca. Then the fourth one is we call it sampaklapa. Sampaklapa is a useless talk, disadvantageous talk, unbeneficial talk. It's translated into frivolous speech. Frivolous speech. Sampaklapa. It means useless talk. You talk it, but it's not of no use for your worldly affair or mundane affairs too. So this is called sampaklapa, frivolous speech. There are these four types of bad speech. You remember the first one, false speech. The second one, the speech that clashes loving kindness between two persons. Yes. Then the third one, rude and polite language speech. And the fourth, frivolous speech. If you abstain from these four kinds of speech, you have a samavacca, right speech. Then while you are practicing meditation and being concentrated on any mental process or physical process, do you speak these four? Yeah? No. You are observing noble silence. Yeah? You are observing noble silence. The abstention from all these four bad speeches. Then you have samavacca, right speech. Then sammakammada, right deed or action. Here also you have three kinds of bad deed to abstain from. Those are the first one. Abstention from killing. Abstention from harming or taking life. That's a samakamanda. Then, yes. How many of taking life is one of three bad deeds? The second one is, illegal sexual contact. That's also bad deed, bad action. The meaning of this word, this precept, is very complicated. It depends on the custom, the customary law and the law of the country, many different countries. But according to Buddhist law, it's very clear. But I think in Austria, Buddhist law cannot be applied. Yes. The illegal sexual contact is a bad deed, bad action to abstain from. Then you may know the last one, the third one. What's that? Taking what's not giving. Yes. Taking what's not giving is also bad deed, bad action. This precept also very superficially translated into stealing in Burma by some Buddhist. Actually, it's not so. Not only stealing, but also the other actions that takes what's not giving. So, here the bad deed is taking what's not giving. Then three types of bad deeds. You remember? If you abstain from all these three bad speeches, you have bad deed, and you have right deed or right action. Samma kammanta. Kammanta is an action or deed. Samma is a right. Samma vajja, samma is a right, vajja is a speech. Samma vajja, right speech. Then, what's the last one? Samma, right livelihood. Samma ajiva. That means all living. Yes, all living based on bad speech and bad deed are bad livelihood. You follow? If you earn your living killing any living beings, that's a bad livelihood. If you earn your living taking what is not giving, it's a bad livelihood. If you earn your living by telling false speech, telling lies, then it's a bad livelihood. In this way, your living, if your living is based on the four bad speeches and the three bad deeds, it's called bad livelihood. Sometimes a businessman may tell lies so that he can get a great deal of a profit. Sometimes a shopkeeper may tell lies. may tell lies. No, I do not refer you. I say a shopkeeper. Yes. Then their livelihood is a bad livelihood. When you abstain from these bad speeches and bad deeds, when you earn your living, then your living livelihood is a bad right livelihood. And also you have to abstain from selling poisons. Selling poisons and lethal weapons such as a dagger and an automatic rifle and so on. You have to yes. Then your livelihood is bad. No sama ajiwa. Throw them away. No sama ajiwa. And also selling liquors, drugs, heroines. Yeah, these are bad livelihood. You must refrain from it so that you can have the sama ajiwa, right livelihood. And you remember? Yes. That's why some of Buddhists said this Noble Eightfold Path is a way of Buddhist life. Is right. If you abstain from these things, your life is very good, very purified. You live a good life. As if you are a real Buddhist, will be always happy, peaceful, and